would guide Helen as she speaks, as we believe you've guided her in her preparation. And open our hearts, Lord, to hear your true word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Well, we're continuing with our series in Luke, and last week we were looking at chapters 1 and 2. This week we're looking at chapters 3, right up to chapter 6, verse 16. So if you'd like to read that when you're at home, it'll cover a lot more. Last week we were looking at Jesus' early life, and we finished with verses 51 and 52, where it said, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them." That's Jesus to his parents. "But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And his mother was treasuring in her heart all the events that had taken place concerning his birth and the prophecies spoken over his life concerning his future. Now, at the beginning of chapter 3, Jesus is about 30 years old when he begins his ministry. And he begins with John the Baptist preaching a water baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And he speaks of one coming who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire and bring God's salvation. And he identifies Jesus as this person. And Jesus is baptized with John, and as we read at the beginning in verses 21 and 22, you haven't got those on the screen this morning, but when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased." And then Jesus goes off into the desert for a while. He's tempted, and he's there for 40 days, sort of a lot of trials. And then he comes back, and that brings us to our readings today. Now, we saw at the beginning that he quotes the part from Isaiah, which ends with, "to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And this is still now the year of the Lord's favor until he comes again. So the ministry of Jesus now has a special mention in the next few chapters, and it's all about healings of different kinds. So Jesus has now begun his ministry. A lot of the beginning part of it is manifested in healings. We see people being brought to encounter Jesus in verse 40 there in Luke 4. It said, "At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of illness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them." He didn't decide which ones he would or whether he'd sift them out in front of them. He laid hands on all of them and healed them. Secondly, we see somebody asking Jesus if he's willing. And Jesus said, "Of course I'm willing." He said, "Be clean." Now, Jesus touched a man with leprosy. I don't think we would want to do that. When Jesus touched people, they became well. He didn't receive their illness. He brought in his kingdom of healing and wholeness and made them well. And of course he was willing. And then in verse 20... we see Jesus forgiving sins. These friends had brought this man. He was paralyzed. They were desperate to get him to Jesus. They knew if he could encounter Jesus, he would be made well. So they took the tiles off the roof. They got him down in there. And Jesus looked at the man and said, "Your sins are forgiven." So he could see right into him. He knew what needed to be done. And then he said, "What's the difference whether I say your sins are forgiven or pick up your mat and walk? You are healed." And then we see one of the others where Jesus is rebuking a spirit that's been bothering someone, and the spirit goes and the person is now fine. And so it doesn't matter where we are. Whenever people encountered Jesus, they were changed. And he was ushering in his kingdom of healing and wholeness. And as I said, this is still the year of the Lord's favor. And when Jesus rose from the dead, before he ascended into heaven, he commissioned his followers and gave them authority to carry on the same ministry that he had demonstrated to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. John Ryland from the Christian Healing Mission in London has been to this church on two occasions to teach on healing, and some of us will have been here to hear him and be part of what he has done. And he's the director of the Christian Healing Mission and healing advisor to the Bishop of Kensington. And in November, I went up to the Christian Healing Mission for a day to spend with them, to see what they do and how they do it, to see whether there was a possibility of becoming a linked church. But in the afternoon, they had a healing service. And they said, would you like to come? So I said, well, yes, of course, because I wanted to see what they were doing. And they said, do you want to be part of the ministry or would you like to receive? I said, I would like to receive. Well, I haven't been feeling very well that week. I had, the weekend before, I'd had sort of flu-like symptoms, and that sort of week I had a large gland up in the right-hand side of my neck and rather a nasty-looking cluster of sort of spots that were growing on the other side of my neck. So I didn't actually feel very well. So the healing service just struck me because it was so gentle and unobtrusive. It didn't intrude at all. And I could sit there and listen to a short talk and a Bible passage and then be led into an encounter to speak to Jesus for myself. And then at the end of that, the people were going around and they touched your shoulder for about 2 minutes, but it seemed a long time, but it was just sort of a reassuring, gentle touch. And then they anointed my forehead with oil. And of course, I'd brought to Jesus this thing that was bothering me on the back of my neck, was making me feel unwell. So that was sort of the end of that. And I didn't have to share anything if I didn't want to, so I didn't. And I could come away and I could thank Jesus because I thought he'd done something for me. Anyway, the following Monday, this was sort of, wasn't sort of worse, but it was still there. So I thought I'd better go to the walk-in centre. So I went up to the walk-in centre. I saw Helen there, actually, as I went in on the desk. And I've never been there before, so she told me where to go. And the lady who was there looked at it, and she said, well, actually, she said, that's a shingles cluster. She said, but what's strange is that it was tracking up a nerve into your head, but it seems to have stopped itself. She said, it either tracks to a nerve in the head and then comes right down and causes a lot of pain, or else it goes down your arm from there. She said, but it seems to have stopped itself, and I don't really know why. And I thought, well, I do. And so I gave God thanks for that. And she said, you're too late for the antiviral anyway. She said, this would never normally have happened without the antiviral. And I thought, well, so I knew that at that time, during that encounter, I'd been healed. And it was a very simple process that had taken place. And the gentle touch, now it's biblical, and it models what Jesus did, and it models what he told his followers to do. That's in Mark 16 and James 5, if you want to look it up. And the anointing oil for sick people is also biblical. That's mentioned in Mark 6:13 and James 5 as a symbolic reminder of God's healing power and that healing takes place through the power of the Holy Spirit. So John Ryland talks about the gentleness of Jesus, and he's writing here just something about the bit with Simon's mother-in-law that we've just heard here. He said, this story reveals the amazing gentleness of Jesus. He goes over to Simon's mother-in-law, takes her hand, and helps her up. He says, there can be a fear about the ministry of healing. He says, we often think, what will we be asked to do? What will we be asked about? The healing ministry of Jesus was surrounded by gentleness and respect for the people in need. In this story, neither Simon, Andrew, nor Simon's mother-in-law were questioned about their beliefs, about their moral standing, whether or not they'd been particularly holy that week, or if they'd refrained from any sin. Nor were they asked to promise anything. All we are told is that Jesus gently went to her, took her by the hand and restored her. And we saw that in all the other stories there. And then he says, this is a Jesus we would all love to encounter, a Jesus who comes to us when we are laid low for whatever reason and with tender gentleness lifts us up. This is the Jesus revealed to us in the Gospels who stands with us now. And then he says, take a moment to catch a sense of his gentle presence with you and tell him about your needs. Now, this morning, what I thought I would like to do for about the next 15 minutes for the remainder of our service is to conduct this healing encounter, which is where you sit and have your hands open to receive. It's often quite, and sort of sit in your chair. There's no sort of pressure, and haven't got to perform. And I will lead you through sort of focusing on the love of the Father, first of all, the love of our Heavenly Father, and then on the fact that the Holy Spirit is the person who is the agent for ministering to us, and then focusing on Jesus and asking him what he would like us to do. Now, at the end of that time, the prayer ministry team will be coming round and they will touch your shoulder gently for 2 minutes and put a sign of the cross on your forehead with the anointing oil that Ian has blessed. Now, what I would like, I don't want anyone to feel that they're doing this against their will. So during the time of the encounter, you can sit with your hands open if you want to receive, or you can sit with your hands together. It doesn't matter. This is your time with Jesus. It's not for me to say there are rules and regulations. But when we come round with the healing oil and the gentle touch, don't be obliged to think that you've got to have that received to you. We won't be talking to people, so we won't ask, do you want to, or do you won't, or do you not. So if you would like to receive, if you keep your hands open, then we'll know that you would like to receive. If you don't want to, just clasp your hands together, but continue in your own encounter with Jesus. It doesn't make any difference. But if we know you've got your hands together, then we won't bother you. And I think it's important that that's your choice. If when you've received ministry, I'm sorry about the instructions, you could then clasp your hands together, then we'll know that you've received ministry and somebody else won't minister to you again. And then we'll know that we've come to the end. Is that sort of clear? Do people understand what we're going to do? And it won't take too long. We're not going to... Did you? Now, being a school teacher, I often arrange my classroom where people sit. For this process, it would be really helpful if there was a sort of a chair between you so that people can reach you all right. So is it possible for you to sort of move about a bit so there's a little bit more space between you? It would be difficult for people to get to you where you're all seated side by side. Is that possible at all? So that sort of moving in front, or so that there's a space so that we can minister, if that's possible. Thank you. Lord God, Jesus told us we can call you Father. When we pray, he told us to begin with our Father in heaven. Father, we worship you. You are the Father of all creation. Everything that is was spoken into being by the power of your breath. Father, you have seen every person who has lived on this earth, and you see me. There is no part of my life that is hidden from you, Heavenly Father. Psalm 139 says, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I am the work of your hands. You placed me in this place at this time. Nothing about me is an accident. You determined the times and the exact places where I would live. Father, I am the person you created me to be, and I worship you. I bring every part of me to you now, and I acknowledge you as my Abba, Father. Father, I rest in your hands. Father, I trust in your love for me. You are everything that I need. You take such delight in me. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit. And we ask for an increased awareness of your presence with us. We ask for an increase of your presence, that we might know the wonder of the love of you, our Heavenly Father, and the awareness of Jesus. We just take a moment to still our hearts to hear that voice of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, you are the Father's gift. You are the sign of the Father's delight in us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you chose to die on the cross for me, so that I might come to the Father. And Lord Jesus, you said that you stand at the door and knock, and if we open the door to you, you will come in. And it is your pleasure to eat with us, and us with you. And we thank you, Jesus, that you said that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so just take a moment now in your heart to find where Jesus is for you. There are no right or wrong answers, but get a sense of his presence with you. Is he beside you, in front of you, around you, within you? And as you find the presence of Jesus, just dare to catch his delight in you. And then as you come to him, what is it you would like Jesus to do for you today? What is it you want to say to him, the one who sees everything, and yet the one who delights in you? And as you ask him for what's on your heart, as he sees everything that's on your heart, what is it that you sense he is saying to you right now? Don't dismiss it. It might come as a random thought or a picture or a word. Just something fleeting, but hold that thought that comes to you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing for us right now in the power of your Holy Spirit. And as we go on receiving, the ministry team will now come round and bless what you're doing, Father, and anoint with oil. As I mentioned before, if you want to receive, have your hands open. If you don't want to receive, then have your hands clasped in your lap, and then people won't bother you. Thank you.